All right, so random thought. I saw this video, Terrell, and we've got a special guest with us, Chelsea, back again from Single in the City podcast.
Period, Pooh.
I know you saw this video, too. There was a party, and James Harden was there, Meek Mill was there. And I'm just thinking, if you're at a party with some of your boys, right, and one of them just starts tickling you, what would you do?
Punch
How
him
would
in the throat.
You react in that?
Throat punch. That's throat punch.
Or a chop.
I noticed I said one of your friends. I didn't say me, because that would never happen. So we're not even going down that hypothetical.
No, I've known you for a long time, and there's no friend I would have that we could walk up to each other and be like, what's up, dog? Hey, Terrell, get you. That's not going to happen, ever. Throat punch. Pow!
So, Chelsea, I mean, so these are guys talking. This is the male energy, but as a woman, do you and your girls ever just walk, hey, girl, could you?
I mean, we slap each other on the ass. We'll give each other a titty squeeze like, yes, sis, they sitting up. Period, poop. It's doing what it's supposed to have done. You know, so girls is different. However, I do think that, so I have like this weird thing in my mind when you said that. I'm like, so why can't guys tickle each other? What is this hyper masculinity concept? Huh. But then I thought about if I was out and I saw a man tickle another man, I would have been like, oh, hell nah.
Now,
I
want to
be progressive, but I'm not.
I'm not saying a man cannot tickle another man. The question was, what would I do? If I was at a party and one of my boys came up and started tickling me, and I said, throat punch. But if two guys want to tickle each other, there's nothing in throat punch. Two guys want to tickle each other, go ahead. Now, to your other point, though, I think women and gay men can do the titty squeeze. Heterosexual mm-hmm. man, I can't be like, yeah, girl.
I can't do that.
You
know what happens? Throat punch.
Oh my God. Hey,
hell
welcome
no.
to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell.
And we've got a special guest with us this week.
It's Chelsea a whole LaVore lot of teeth in this motherfucker. City. We are laughing so hard.
Have you ever been out somewhere and just overheard two, in this case maybe three people having crazy conversations?
You know, like titty squeezing and all that and ass slapping. Well, apparently we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 44. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
That makes us the Obama episode when you think about it. 44?
Wait, so then what's next week's episode going to be?
It's going downhill.
All downhill from here.
You know what? Your page might get deactivated. You might get banned at 45.
At least let us get to his number of followers first.
Period. <True. laughs>
So, Chelsea, it's been a while since we've had you on, man. What's been going on with you? What's been going on in the life of Chelsea LaVore?
I'm just going to say, y'all talking to a whole brand new bitch because it's 20 less pounds of meat, okay? So I've been working out. I have been just kind of like not wanting to jump back into the world opening. So like, I'm not ready. Like a little bit of me like really kind of liked the like seclusion and like mm-hmm. the focus and like not really being around people for real of COVID. So like the world opening back up, I'm like slowly adjusting. I'm like, oh, we outside. Okay. So I've just been working on my podcast. I've been working on some other things. I have some really exciting opportunities coming up. But most importantly, I've been in the gym, okay? Because I had a little bit too much love in my love handles, okay? And I walked past the mirror one day and I said, and I didn't know it was me. Like, I was like, hold up, that's me? Like, the reflection just wasn't what I thought I looked like. And I said, okay, I got to get this together. So pretty much in the gym and I'm trying to stay out the kitchen.
That sounds like I've noticed a lot of people on social talking about that because, you know, the quarantine 15 really turned into the quarantine 50. And, you know, so a lot of people gained weight during the pandemic. And of course, you talk about the fact that the world is opening up slowly. Well, since the last time we did this podcast, I'm in Atlanta now, which, of course, never knew that there was a pandemic. They had no idea there was a pandemic. It was everywhere except Atlanta, right? And then Terrell is in a state that's like, hey, We're Texas. We're not even part of the U.S.
Go for yourselves.
It's a whole nother country.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Virginia, we're just being, and even now, I like wear my mask. I don't have to wear my mask, but it's kind of become like, I'm wearing my mask because I'm not ready. Also, I don't want you to think I'm one of them Trump supporters. So I'm still going to wear my mask. And that's just that on that.
So obviously you got vaccinated.
I have not been vaccinated yet.
Why not? And I asked this because, Terrell, you got vaccinated. Why?
I got vaccinated just because. To me, it makes sense. I'm not a big fan of vaccines, and I don't take the flu shot. But in this case, it just made sense. And I figured I'd wait. By the time I got vaccinated, there are already, you know, over a million people have gotten it. And so none of them grew tails or anything turned into some kind of weird
animal.
That you
know of.
And so I'm like, you know, let me go ahead
Everybody
and get it.
Everybody put your pants down.
Let me go ahead and get it. Plus, I travel a lot, all that. I have family I want to see. So I said, I'll go ahead and get the shot. So I think I got my second dose on April 1st.
Oh, wow. Okay. I commend you. I'm kind of like with you, Terrell. I'm kind of with you. I was like, let me see how this goes. And so, like, it's not that I'm an anti-vaxxer. I just kind of like, I've really been to myself for the most part. So I haven't, and I can't really say I miss my family that much. We talk, we cool. Okay. That's my excuse to stay away.
You know, I haven't been vaccinated, so I don't want to put y'all at risk.
I can't come to the cookout. So sorry. Oh my God. But I am, it's funny because right before we started the podcast, I'm going to Punta Cana in October for a family vacation. And my cousin just said, make sure you get vaccinated because you can't go unless you are vaccinated or whatever the case may be. But I just kind of was like waiting it out. I hate shots. Like, I am the 30-year-old that still calls my grandma. If she could hold my hand, I want her to hold my hand. I hate shots. So it's been more so fear of shots than the actual vaccine for me.
So let's see if I got this right. To go see family, nah. Punta
but
Cana.
But to see him in Punta Cana.
Goddamn right.
Shoot me up. Shoot out. Let go. Big Draco style.
But can I get both at the same time?
Now, y'all, if y'all, we was meeting at Mimo house, no thank you. But since we meeting in Punta Cana, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get this shot.
So, yeah, okay, so it makes sense. I mean, I get it. I mean, for me, it was, I'm traveling. I'm like Terrell right now, traveling a lot more than I have in a long time. And, you know, with this back and forth, I'm like, if I'm going to be on a plane back and forth, then yeah, definitely got to get vaccinated. Just because when I first started going back, traveling back and forth, I was on Delta, and Delta had that middle row. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, which was cool, but, you know, you still see that person. I mean, let's be honest. Those seats are not 6 feet anywhere. They're not even 6 feet tall. They're not 6 feet anywhere. If you stretch the seats out, they're still 5'5", right? So I'm like, I need that. And then, of course, they go, oh, yeah, by the way, we're taking away that middle seat. Ooh. So now people are right next to you, which has been the worst thing because they're just like,
it is.
Why are you touching me?
Well, no, well, especially like if you hear them like cough or say, yes. It could be a smoker's cough, but as soon as you hear it, you're like,
yeah, this was like in December. It was New Year's Eve. I went to DMV, right? And so, you know, it's like, it took months for us to get an appointment to go to the DMV. Mm-hmm. So they had the chairs spaced out, all of this. I mean, it was like crazy going to DMV. This lady has a smoker's cough while in DMV, and they made her get the fuck out the DMV. She was like, I'm a smoker. They were like, we don't care, ma'am. You need to go. Like, she could not cough in the DMV. Like, it was crazy.
Like, that's another reason to quit smoking. Now get your ass out.
Well, but it's so funny how this pandemic has made us be this sensitive to that. I mean, literally, I was at a bar, a restaurant the other day, and a person just sneezed. And you just see everybody just kind of like,
how dare you? You nasty.
Don't know what it is. Could be allergies, whatever. He just like, I smell death on you.
It's like Denzel Washington. I'm about to put cases on all you sons of bitches.
See, that's why I get the window seat, so I could curl up against the window and make sure. Yeah,
today, when I was in the gym, this man just got on the treadmill next to me. I'm like, bruh, it's like, I see, I done slammed on the counter. Lord help me. It is a row full of treadmills up in here. And you're going to get on the treadmill next to me. So I just got off the treadmill. Because now I'm like, I can't believe we were running this close to each other before COVID. Like, it really makes you think about your personal space and how, like, people will just in your personal space.
Are you wearing a mask while you're working out?
I I am not. That's why I was like, bruh. Like, it literally was, there was my treadmill and there was about 8 treadmills until the next person. You could give me a space, like one between one. Like, mm-hmm. why did you have to get next to me? I was wearing my leopard leggings today.
Well, maybe that's why. Yeah.
He's like, I'm down for the chase.
Yeah, he's like,
wild women. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to run next to this little Thundercat over here. That's what I'm talking about.
But I was so disturbed. Like, I had to get off the treadmill after that. But it's true what you said. Like, it just makes you, like, really, when people cough, if they are sneezing, people can have allergies. God forbid you cough around me. Like, I even told my wife the other day, I was like, girl, if you don't stop coughing like that,
the guest room will be yours.
Period.
I mean, all this talk of running is a perfect segue because as we get into For the Love of Sports, you know, the biggest news over the last couple weeks was, one, the emergence of, and then the quick rise and fall of, Sha'Carri Richardson and the quest for Olympic gold. You been following this?
I have, and it's so funny you said that because, you know, working in like entertainment and stuff, they always say they build you up to tear you down. Mm-hmm. And she kind of tore herself down a little bit.
Thank you.
Hold up now. There shall be no Sha'Carri slander because I'm going to stand beside her, okay?
I'm going to stand beside her too.
I'm going to smoke
beside her. I'm going to stand beside her and tell her, hey, Sha'Carri, puff, puff, pass. It's my turn. Yeah, but I'm not going for the Olympics, so I can smoke all I want.
I'm just saying, I love Sha'Carri. I've been following this story. Honestly, it feels like it's like never ending, especially now that news cycles go so fast. And it's like every other day mm-hmm. there's something new with her. Like even today, pulling up, she was hanging out with the baby. And I was just like, no, no, no. No, girl, wrong move. That is not who you need to be hanging out with.
Well, I think when the story first hit, I appreciated the fact that she just owned it and said, hey, I made a mistake. Right. And and that's it. And then a lot of the other articles that came after that, I think, were more opinion pieces of people just kind of saying what they think about the whole thing. It's not like new drama. But what I told Yanni last week when this came up, I said, you know, if she was white, we wouldn't be talking about this.
No. And fuck that accountability bullshit. I didn't like that she immediately was like, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. I didn't like it.
Why?
I mean, I understand why she did it. Okay. So it's a couple of things. I'm like, girl, even murderers don't say I'm guilty. They say not guilty. Like, give yourself a minute. I mean, I get that probably before this, she probably had talked to her team. But mm-hmm. I'm just like, there could be technicalities. There mm-hmm. could be loopholes. Mm-hmm. I just felt like a little bit too soon. I don't know if she was trying to get ahead of the story by taking accountability. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just feel like maybe she went a little bit too soon with the I'm wrong. I could have done this better or whatever. I do appreciate that she took accountability, but girl, just let it rock a little bit.
Can I say that I realize, and I will say to your wife right now, I feel your pain because I know right now, I feel your pain because I can tell right now that no matter what, no matter how wrong Chelsea is, she'll never, ever, ever just come out and go, you've got to go all Grisham on her, give the facts, bring out the spreadsheets and show everything.
Or something like that. I just feel like until there's like hard proof, no loopholes.
It's called a test.
But even with the drug test,
no.
My whole question was, why weren't they testing these girls before the qualifiers? I don't know that much about Olympics. So why was she able to run? Like, they should have been drug testing. Like, she shouldn't have been able to, like, do that run. I don't know I'm not an athlete, clearly.
So, I mean, if we're going to do drug tests for, especially for steroids and illegal substances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a race. Do you do those tests a week before so you get those results back? Which allow them to juice within that week before the race?
Okay.
Or do you do it right before the race? Now, if you do it right before the race, which is what it's done to make sure there's nothing illegal in their system. Boxers, they get tested right before they fight because you can't put anything else in your system. And that's the reason why. As an athlete, you have to, and I'm not speaking from the point
of an athlete.
You
see, I didn't know
because obviously I'm not an athlete either. But, I mean, I know it's hard to tell with this amazing physique.
But you study athletes.
So, I can say I'm not an athlete as well, but as somebody who deals a lot with drug testing, if you are a regular cannabis
testing.
Yeah. If you are a regular cannabis user and you smoke weed on Monday and they test you Friday, you will test positive. If you are not a regular cannabis user and you just happen to take a few puffs of a joint on Monday and then Friday you get tested, you could possibly get a negative test, especially for an athlete who's constantly working out, running, sweating it out, drinking a lot of fluids to clear them systems out. So she often probably smokes weed. Nothing wrong with that. And I think we should stop testing people for weed. Like, who cares?
It doesn't make you. That's my question.
Yeah, I don't think we should start for jobs, for anything. Let people smoke weed. Who cares? Because if you're going to make it legal, and this is what I run into in my profession, in states like Colorado, Washington, Oregon, where weed is legal, you have companies that will say, well, we won't hire you if you test positive for marijuana. But recreational marijuana is legal there. And so you're hurting yourself by doing that. And it's just freaking weed. Like, who cares? Because you can't, these states are saying, hey, I want to make money off of it. But okay, but you can't work here if you do this. But we're going to make money off of it.
It's ass backwards.
It is. It is.
As are many things.
It is. Well, what I'm hoping is once they start to, because, you know, they're still getting data to show how much money the states are getting. So it's not so much taxed. And money they are taxing is not all of the money, because all of the transactions are cash transactions. It's not credit card. And so if you're getting, you know, hundreds of thousands a week in cash, are you going to report every single penny? Hell no.
So, I mean, 10,000.
I am.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't say anything for you. You let it kind of. What'd you say about Shakira?
IRS, go ahead and tap in. Okay.
Hey, that was her just in case they were listening.
Yeah, the IRS has joined.
I'm going to.
What's it say? IRS has joined the chat.
here's the thing about it, and I think the thing that I like the most about Shakira was the fact that she went ahead and she came out, and the first question they asked her, before she even got to answering that question, she goes, well, first, let me just say.
Just, I want to take responsibility for my actions. I know what I did. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm allowed not to do, and I still made that decision, but not making an excuse or looking for any empathy in my case.
And I love that.
Me too.
Own it. And that means her PR people were at work and telling them, own it, give them nowhere to go with this. Because the minute you go, if you go the Chelsea route, what happens is they back you in the corner and then they come with everything. They find every little thing about her in her past to throw at her. You come out front and you throw that out there, what can
they
do?
Very true.
Nothing.
Exactly. Very true. Exactly. I saw some people posting when it happened. They were talking about, well, you know, you got to understand her mom, she found out about this. I'm like, all that doesn't really matter. The fact that she just came out and said, hey, look, I knew the rules, I went against it, then it shuts all that shit down. You know, but so she didn't make an excuse for it. I love that. And I think that's how we should be as a society. Hey, that's okay to screw up. Just own that you did it.
But see, the problem with that, and I totally 100% agree with you guys, is
that
you. Can you believe it? I do agree. Like I said, I'm really torn between like the part of me that like loved everything as far as like I watched her race like literally for 2 hours, that same 10 seconds that she ran, and cried because I felt like as a Black woman, I felt seen as like a Black woman who, you know, may not be like, you know, she's a little rough around the edges. She reminds me of me and my cousins. So I was happy to see her win. And so the part of me that was like, that girl was saying like, girl, deny, right? But I totally agree with the accountability aspect. You know, like, cause it's, you know, like it's almost like you're, so you guys can't act like you're above it, right? So when you know your man, it, like your friend is doing some F-boy shit, right? And like, you're like, hey, wasn't I with Terrell? Wasn't I with you last night? You expect Terrell to be like, yo, we were together last night.
That's it depends.
I was keeping.
It depends on what was going on. If they need an excuse because they lied to their girlfriend, yeah, sure, you're with me. But if you got caught robbing a bank last night, you trying to get your alibi together, I was with
Terrell.
No,
to this shit.
I wasn't with you on that. I don't know where.
It's levels to this shit.
But
it's
no,
levels
I was
to
home.
This shit. I agree with, I love that she took accountability. I think that you're absolutely right with, once you tell your truth, people can't use it against you. So I'm going to say this. I agree. You guys are right.
So let me say this too.
And I don't know what to say after that.
Period. So
I will say there was something she said that I didn't like, right? And So following all this, and the people saying, let's go ahead.
Now
and,
you lost and, me.
Wait, hold on.
I got to hear this.
You know exactly where I'm going with this. You know exactly, when the whole, we're gonna boycott the Olympics. And so Gabby Thomas, who's another sprinter, who, see, look at you rolling your eyes. Do not roll your eyes at this beautiful black queen.
She is beautiful.
Who's educated. Mm-hmm. Smart and fast as hell, obviously, because none of us can catch her.
Yes.
She's going to the Olympics. And she was like, there are other black athletes who work their ass off. You come, and I'm paraphrasing here, y'all shouldn't boycott the Olympics. What I didn't like was Sha'Carri's response to that, or her seeming response. I'll say her alleged response, because she tweeted, the attention that is on track now and was because of very, very few names. So if that's where fan supports lay, you can be mad at that. You can't be mad at that. Which basically saying, if people want to boycott, boycott. And I'm like, yo, girl, you already admitted to smoking the weed. You're off the team. You got left off the relay. Sit down, be quiet, cheer on Team USA, and come back and take the shit next year.
I feel like paraphrasing... All of those things that you said are correct about Gabby Douglas, right? She is beautiful. Thomas, she's intelligent.
Thompson.
Gabby Douglas Thomas. Is the gymnast.
Gymnast, right.
Yeah.
You know, we're taking over everything now. I got to keep up. she is all of those things that you said. But pretty much what Sha'Carri said was, ain't nobody come here to see you, Otis, okay? So
until they see her. Until they see her.
Look, I'm going to just say this. I think that every now and then in sports, there are people that are just polarizing to that sport. You know, Kobe Bryant, Tiger Woods. I mean, I wouldn't have even known or cared or to be interested in golf if it weren't for Tiger Woods. What Venus and Serena are to tennis. Sha'Carri is that right now to track. And so there are other names. She didn't just say her name. She said there are certain names. Like, I don't know about the Olympics, but I know that Alex Phoenix, the lady who had the...
Allison Felix.
There are names that people are there to watch. And so to me, I think she was pretty much saying, like, you're upset because people are standing with me and are upset about my situation. And you just so happen to not be one of those names that people are mentioning. And she wasn't saying it was just her name. She was saying there are a few names and you just so happen to not be one of them. So really you sound like a bitter Betty, in my opinion, because you're like, well, what about me? Like, I'm here too. And it is great. There are a lot of black athletes to support. However, ma'am, we don't know you.
Yeah,
we didn't come to see you, Otis.
But I think Sha'Carri, in my opinion, she should be the one saying, no, people, do not ban the Olympics
boycott
the Olympics because of what I did. You know, and that's ridiculous, right?
Why does she have to say anything?
Then why is she saying anything now? She chose to do
that. Why does she have to stand up for the Olympics, though? Why does she have to stand up for the Olympics?
Well, because the Olympics was awesome and she was going to get into it. But because she jacked up, now the Olympics has a problem? She broke the rule.
She's not saying don't watch the Olympics.
But she's also not, these people who are supporting her are saying ban the Olympics or boycott the Olympics because she failed a drug test. So people making that, to me, that hurts on the Olympics. But I agree with Gabby. It hurts all these other people who worked hard that waited to smoke weed until after they qualified.
Yeah.
To go.
I was only watching for Sha'Carri anyway. That's the thing. Like, I think most people that are saying, and I think that anyone that is really an Olympics fan or a track fan, they're going to watch regardless.
True.
People like me who are just like, you know, I saw Sha'Carri a year ago when she was wearing for LSU. I saw something that made social media. But for people that are just seeing highlights of this that really weren't there and know that much about track, she was the main event that really drew their interest. So, the people that were going to watch anyway are going to watch. And the people that were there that were intrigued by Sha'Carri and loved her story aren't going to watch because it's like, okay, well, my girl's not there. I don't really know what's going on and I'm not that interested.
And I have no problem with them not watching. Just don't watch and stop trying to spread the boycott. Because here's the problem. This is where I have the issue. When you say boycott the Olympics because of something that somebody admitted they did was wrong, all you're doing is you're weakening the whole concept of boycotting for a good cause. When we cry wolf, what happens? When the wolf shows up, nobody gives a shit. We've all heard the story.
Right.
As kids, we heard the story, the boy who cried wolf. Well, these are the black Twitter heads that cry wolf, cry boycott.
Well, do you think that the boycott is more so about we need to boycott so that there can be a conversation around marijuana use in the Olympics? Do you get like, and Sha'Carri just more so happens to be the martyr for that, or the catalyst for that change? Because in my opinion, that's kind of what I feel like when I look at the comments on social media, and when I have like listened to the conversation, I feel like what more people are saying is we need to talk about this rule, or we need to talk about how, like Terrell said, the world is changing and it's legal in these states, but you can't be employed, and it's like all of these gray areas. Maybe we need to boycott so that we can actually have conversations about what this looks like in the future for athletes.
I would think that would be great if they did that. I think they should. I think they should make that be the conversation piece around it. And if you're going to try to set up a boycott until the Olympics officials or administration, whatever you want to call it, will they get to a point that, hey, we all got to agree that marijuana is not illegal, and Sha'Carri helped create, was a catalyst for that change?
Because without her, I don't think that would be a conversation of topic right now.
Well,
was anyone speaking about marijuana use and it's legal in these states and everything before Sha'Carri and this negative drug test? Because really, that's honestly what I hear more of. It's more like, what we need to look at the rules. We need to look at changing. This seems like very antiquated. That's what I hear from, or the idea that I get behind the protest.
Well, but I think if so, here's my take on that, because I see where you're going. I never heard of Sha'Carri until she qualified. And I just started seeing, I watched her race. I'm like, wow, this chick is bad. You know, never heard of her. But all the support of all these other different celebrities and athletes that are, you know, doing all these posts about we shouldn't be tested for marijuana. Where were y'all at in 2016? You didn't have that stance back then. It's because somebody that all of a sudden you feel got wronged. Now we're all going to be up in arms. But we weren't having that conversation before, when the average scrub failed a drug test that qualified, or to somebody that was not a name that or drew the crowd. You know, as you put it, it's like all athletes, most athletes cheat. But when Tiger Woods did it, it was big news because it was Tiger Woods, you know, but other than that, Phil Mickelson could have slept with somebody. No one cares.
Second place person.
Yeah, exactly.
No one cares about second or third place because like you said, like all the attention's on her. So the fact that it's happening to her, it actually is like, well, I think also too, because so many people were so excited. I mean, she has like, more so than her running, it's her aura that is like so attractive and so like, when she says she's that girl, I felt that on a spiritual level, okay? When she was like, I just want the world to know, I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about her saying she's that girl, because I was telling my wife, I said, I think what it is with Sha'Carri, it's that so many black women, and I will say women in general, we have to make ourselves small. When we accomplish things, you have to be humble. A guy can be like, oh yeah, I'm that guy, you know, all of that bravado. But you don't hear a lot of women be like, I'm that girl. And so a lot of women felt really connected to her because of that, especially black women, because she had the hair. Like the guy said, the hair, the nails, the attitude, but the speed. Like no matter what she looked like, you can't deny her talent.
Oh, I think we got to think
that's why so many people.
We thank Lizzo for that. I thank Lizzo for that.
What?
Lizzo was the one. What? Lizzo was the one that came out to everybody, I'm that bitch. I think she's that. Everyone's kind of running with that phrase. Especially
but
when
Lizzo,
I say everybody.
She's that bitch.
When I say everybody, it wasn't just black women when Lizzo came out and did it. It's been every woman. I'm 100% that bitch. Women have been doing that ever since Lizzo.
Let me tell you, Lizzo is saying she's that bitch, but she doesn't believe she's that bitch. That's the difference. When Sha'Carri says, I'm that girl, and that attitude in that mouth, even like when she said, like, she's unapologetically that girl, and she continued that girl energy when she was like, there are certain names. Like, Lizzo is not really standing. Those are lyrics, not her life.
Let me just point out a fact that it's probably not going to be popular between the two of you, but I love the Sha'Carri Richardson energy. I love the interest in track and field. I look forward to seeing her compete in the World Championships next year and in the Olympics in 3 years. However, there is no guarantee that she would have won gold, even though everybody wants to believe that she would have, because there is somebody. She hasn't even run the fastest 100-meter time this year for women. Mm-hmm. Shelly Ann Fraser has. And when Shelly Ann Fraser ran her 100 meter at, was it? I think it was 10.6. I'm thinking it was like 6.5 or 6 flat. The difference is hers has only been beat by one other person, and that's the world record that FloJo has at 10.4. So, I mean, it wasn't a guarantee, but I'm disappointed because I really wanted to see that showdown. I really thought they were going to put on the 4x100 because I really wanted to see that showdown between USA and Jamaica, because that's what it's come down to now in the men's and women's 100, 200, and 4x100. That's where the race comes down to between America and Jamaica, and it's great to see that, because before, America just lapped people, even on the 4x100. Like, how did you get around the track so fast while everybody else is still handing off on the second turn, you know? But it's
Either way, whether it's a USA or Jamaica, it's just black people winning, so I'm happy. Are you brown? You can stick around. Okay.
So that means you would be happy with this next story that we saw in For the Love of Sports, which was, you know, this one got sent to us, and, you know, what do you think about this? Team USA, the basketball team, lost to Nigeria in an exhibition game. Mm. So to your point, another black team won. But
hey. Well, hey, dark chocolate versus milk chocolate. All right. So
the thing that blows me away with this story is Team USA in basketball, ever since the Dream Team, has been awesome to watch. Before the Dream Team, we didn't give a shit about men's basketball in the Olympics. So in 2012, Team USA beat Nigeria by 80 points. Right? In 2016, they beat Nigeria by 40-something points. And now in this exhibition game, they lose by 3 points to team. Now, Team Nigeria has about 3 or 4 NBA players on it.
Five
NBA players on it that play in the NBA, but they're playing for their team. And so it's very interesting.
I'm a little confused. So what? Can you play? Because I don't know about sports. So I get the scoring part. Yeah. So when you say Team Nigeria and Team USA, are we still talking about like the Olympics or world champions?
We're talking about the Olympics.
You can be Nigerian and play in the NBA, but because you are Nigerian and from Nigeria, you can go back and play. Okay, I'm back. Okay.
So a lot of the international NBA players that came from other countries, they tend to go back home and play for their home country. Like Pau Gasol played for Spain, you know, every time they had the Olympics. He didn't play for Team USA.
Okay, we're back on the same podcast. Yeah. All right, I was another place. I was like, okay, wow, this is a lot.
Wait a minute, I didn't know you could switch teams.
I did.
If you're making American money, you're gonna play for Team USA. Damn it!
You get it? I switched teams.
See what you did there.
Okay, so Team Nigeria is whooping America's ass.
Whooped them by 3. I can say whooped ass. I think Team USA just kind of went in a little lax. It's an exhibition game, and I think we'll still win the gold. But a lot of the international teams, ever since the Dream Team first came around, a lot of international teams have gotten better. It's not just the easy cakewalk that it was in 1992 compared to what it is now. But I still think the talent that they have on Team USA, that team should go. They should win. They should get a gold. It'd be ridiculous if they didn't.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Ludicrous.
Ridiculous.
Ludicrous. My absurd. God. Now, what about LeBron's PR person who has said that, you know, I'm just getting so exhausted between the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter. I'm just exhausted.
I would be too, shit. As a PR person, I would be too. God damn. Especially if I'm a black PR professional. God.
He was white. He was definitely white.
Oh, he's white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, end the call.
See, you know what's so funny about that? Because I understand why you thought he was black. I understand why, because LeBron has been known to put black people in power positions around him.
Yeah.
But his PR person, this particular guy, is white. So it's that was interesting that you said that, because you just assumed that he was black.
But I can definitely see it being exhausting for a white person, because not only are they, the point of PR is to like put your business or yourself in a positive light. You're speaking on and representing a person who is honestly like LeBron James is like an athlete activist. You know what I'm saying? So he has a very strong voice, but you're also trying to speak to something that you know nothing about. So steadily as you're trying to speak, you're also doing research, trying to empathize. I can imagine you're speaking from an experience that is not your own, where there's no training, I promise you, in any PR program. I don't care if you went to the best of them, talking about racial relations within their curriculum. So I can imagine it being very stressful, because it would be stressful to a black person. So I am mad at the white man. For once. This is an interesting show. I'm agreeing with y'all. I'm feeling bad for white men.
You know, change your mind on one thing or another. You know, I mean, look at this.
I'm getting soft.
You can soften your old age.
Good God.
You know, so one of the things I've been trying to get Terrell to soften up about is reality TV. And to give you a backstory, what happened was he made a deal with the devil years ago that he would never watch The Bachelor unless they had a black bachelor, right?
Okay.
And so, lo and behold, enter Matt James. So he had to watch The Bachelor. Me being the good friend that I am.
Kissing with his eyes open.
Watch it with him. I decided to watch this thing with him. And we watched the entire season, did episodes of it and everything else, right? So I told him, look, I did this with you. You've got to watch one of my shows with me because I like reality TV.
I do too.
So do you ever watch Married at First Sight?
Oh my God, yes, I basically did it in real life. Love that shit. I was late to the Married at First Sight. I started watching it maybe like, I watched the current season, but I saw it on Netflix. I thought it was a Netflix show. And so I binge watched it, and now I've been like addicted. So yeah.
And the one on Netflix, that was the one, I think, in Charlotte, right? Based in Charlotte?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
good one.
Interesting one. So this next one is based in Houston. So Texas, he could relate, right?
Come on, put your boots on and watch, Terrell. Come on, giddy on up, Terrell.
I guess
it's good.
I guess I have to. I just hate reality shows, but it'll give me something to make fun of. So let's do it.
It's good. It's good.
It's an amazing show. I got into it probably like season three, I think, by accident. And
by accident.
I got hooked by the concept. I'm like, imagine that if you you said you basically did it.
Yeah.
But imagine meeting your spouse for the first time at the altar.
That's crazy. I liked it because it was next level crazy. I'm more like 90 Day Fiancé. My life is more 90 Day Fiancé. Married at First Sight is like, oh, you crazy, crazy. Like, you bout this life. You really trying to find love. And I really enjoyed the show. And what I love about the show, too, because I was able to watch from, like, later seasons, I went and Googled all these people. I'm like, wow, they're still together. So yeah. I like that, even though it's a reality show concept and a lot of times people are just together on the show, to see that, wow, these people actually stayed married. I was like, I am invested. Doesn't take much, but I'm invested.
I still call it bullshit. I don't think any of those people go on there to actually find love. Yanni taught me this concept a long time ago, theater of the mind. And I think these reality shows are all fake. No matter what, some of those people could have actually known each other beforehand. Like, here's what we're going to do. We go get on this show. We go make this money. We're going to get our gram followers up and all that stupidness. I mean, you go on a reality show, you embarrass yourselves. You embarrass your family. Sometimes
who's embarrassed?
Oh, some of those people embarrass their families. Like, if there was a Terrell Jr., I'd slap the shit out of him. If he was like, Dad, I'm going to this reality show to get married. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not.
But it also takes a certain type of personality. A lot of these people are extrovert.
I'm an extrovert. Those people are attention whores. There's a difference.
Now, I would do it.
No, I don't believe you.
I would do it.
TV cameras following you around for whatever period of time and just have everybody exposed to your life.
She would do it.
Thank you, Yanni. I would do it. I would do it. I mean, even like I always joke and say, like, I wanted to be the first lesbian housewife. Like, I wanted to be Missy Elliott's wife and be on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Okay. Like, I'm with the shits. Okay.
Missy Elliott's gay.
I mean, she won't say it, but we all know.
Oh, I was going to say.
She's like the brat, like when the brat came out, like, sis, who did you think you were fooling?
Like, I've got a surprise for everyone.
I'm gay, and we knew. Like, I'm glad you. Just like Queen Latifah, I like that she, you know, at her BET award speech, she said, but I was like, girl, we know.
Yeah, ever since Set It Off, I was like, with the reality ever season. Since Set It Off, I'm like, oh, you're just being yourself. Got it. You ain't acting. You
played this character a little too well.
Look, y'all act like Queen Latifah doesn't dress up in heels and dresses and
but,
show that.
But it's not. Yo, she's got big dick energy. The queen is. She has big dick energy. Okay.
Ever since. So, who you calling the bitch? You and I, T-Y.
Because, I mean, I think that sometimes people, like, my mom is guilty of this. I think that they, like, associate, like, sexuality with femininity. And, like, it's not the same. You know, like, Queen Latifah can wear a dress, but even when she wears a dress, her swag is not feminine. She's not a feminine woman. True. And so that's why I say, like, and even the, like, she's... Big dick energy.
Yeah, I mean, if I saw her in a ball gown, I would still dap her up. I wouldn't be like, you know, because I'd be like, dang.
Look, yes, be honest. Yes. Y'all all thought MC Light was gay, too, until she showed up married to a man.
What that mean? Let me... I swear I wish I had a cocktail. This water is not hitting the way I thought it was going to. She's got a husband. And
all right, enough said. You know, one of the things,
because a lot of women that are like, especially that era, I think sometimes women that like deal with their sexuality or battle with their sexuality, they are torn between like, oh, if I'm married or if I'm with a woman, then I can't have kids or I can't have this. And so they kind of like end up like gravitating toward being with a man because they can still dabble on the side with women. So they kind of feel like they have like the security of like what comes with being with a man, and they can still dibble and dabble on the other side.
I have to take your word for it.
You gotta be ready to risk it all. So
there's some people who call bullshit on it, and I know one. There's something else that people are willing to call bullshit on is this guy. I'm sure you know his name, Kevin Samuels.
Oh God,
Terrell, I'll let you take it over from here.
So
I don't even know what to do with myself.
All right, so I stumbled across a Kevin Samuels video probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then I started listening to a lot more of him. Been going to his YouTube deal. And
that's what happens. You get sucked in at first.
I do, but I'm listening to it. I'm just like, what I laugh at is this. Can he be harsh in some ways? I think, yes, but also these people called in to ask this question. It'd be one thing if he just walked up to somebody on the street and said, girl, you're a six. You think you're an eight, but you're a six. Bye. He didn't. Right. People call in and they're asking these questions. But it blows my mind how, and I don't pay attention to the gram and all these Instagram models. I just don't get into that. But some of these women are calling in and I'm listening to them like, you think you deserve a man that makes $200,000+ a year. And what you bring to the table is you've never been married. You got two kids by two different dads. And why would that guy who makes that money, why would he want you? Well, because I'm a good woman.
It worked
woman.
For Major Marjorie Harvey.
But that's the exception. It's not the rule. There's always going to be somebody that's going to be like, well, I did it. And I would look at any guy who's making $250,000 with no kids to marry a woman with two kids by two different dads and everything. I look at you like, what are you doing?
That's Steve's 15th wife.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah, and so I just listen to a lot of these women that call in and I'm like, oh my God, you're crazy. Now, there's certain things he says I don't agree with, because I was listening to him today and he was saying that he feels, you know, women would not survive the world without men, and he gave this whole deal. But then he was talking about women should know her place, and it's like, you know, you're not my... This girl wanted a relationship where it said that we should be equals. He goes, you're not my equal. He goes, then what am I? And he goes, you're my subordinate. I'm like, ooh, dude, I don't really agree. Ooh, I don't agree with that.
He's a bitter, hurt man, and his mother has really hurt him. Whatever women in his life that raised him really hurt him, and it shows, okay? I just don't understand why women keep calling into the show. Now, I'm not going to lie, for entertainment value, I have gotten like you sucked into the show. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this guy? And it's so intriguing that you keep watching. And like, but I also look at him and I'm like, who the fuck are you? like, one, women are calling to speak to him like he's some relationship guru. And if he were, I'm like, okay, so if you're talking about, you know, about what a high, what does he say?
High value man wants.
I don't see anything where you said, I deal with high value men and matching them. I'm a matchmaker. I do this. He says he's an image consultant, but what are your real credentials? Like, my thing is, why do I respect your opinion?
Does he have a high value man?
Do I have like, a high value man?
No, does he have
a high value man? Oh, yes, he does.
Because he looks like he has a high value man.
There was a picture or something that leaked with him with another man.
Hey. See? Stop talking about your frat brother like that.
Ooh, he's shaking the table. Yeah, so, you gonna stand beside him.
I saw alpha energy in him, so.
No, he's 100% Kappa. Exactly. 100% Kappa. He said it on his show. He's a Kappa.
The thing with Kevin Samuels is I also feel like there's a lot of like pretty privilege, as well as colorism in how he talks to women. He speaks to dark skinned women very harshly, and like when he speaks to light skin or what would be considered like a really pretty like European standard woman, he's really gentle with them. And so it's like almost like black women always say, like, protect the black women, even the ones that you aren't attracted to.
Yeah,
that's the energy that he gives. If he's attractive, if you're attractive, or you've got followers, or you fit the aesthetic, he's willing to give you your medicine with a little bit of candy. But let somebody come on, and a black woman who is around look like Sha'Carri, he's ready to tear her ass up.
Well, I think it depends. The what I hear him tear women up for is what their expectations are in finding a partner. Mm-hmm. And they're unrealistic expectations. And he breaks it down by, okay, well, how old are you? Okay, you're such an age. You're such a height. How much did you weigh when you last weighed yourself? And then he'd be like, okay, well, one problem is you're overweight. And that's harsh for some people to hear. But it's like, if you're looking for this dude who makes $300,000 a year and all of his other options, why would he pick you? And he calls it out. And so some people get offended by that. The other thing that he calls people out on is their expectation of what they want, the percentage of people who make that money, it's so small. And then based on where you live, you don't live anywhere near that.
Near these people.
Near these folks. And so you're looking for a small percentage, especially if people are like, I only want to date a black man who makes 200 something thousand dollars a year.
Yeah.
There's a small percentage of those in the world. And so you got to hope you can find one that lives in your city. And then you have to ask yourself, why would he want you, especially depending on your situation? If you've been single, like one lady on the call today, she had three kids by three different men. And so he was like, no one's going to want you. You're damaged. You need to lower your expectation and date at your level. Well, no, I should do this. It's like, no, he goes, you've made bad choices. So why would another man come in and pay for you and the three mistakes you've made? And the three men that you were with before that weren't any good in the first place. And then he asked, like, what was the profession of some of these men? A couple of them, none of them made $100,000. But now she thinks somebody's going to come marry her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to work and take care of her and her three kids. There are people who think that crazy shit. And so to me, I'm like,
I partially blame social media.
Oh, yeah. All those social media models that think they're
social media models, city girl mentality, you know, like, and I agree with him to a certain extent. Like, why would a man... really what money provides for men is options. You know what I mean? Like, so if he has options and he can do the choosing, why would he pick... I mean, a broke man wouldn't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
I ain't paying for them goddamn kids.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. I do think that sometimes, like, I always say on my show, you got to meet the expectations of your expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you, not only does he have to make all this money, he's got to be fine, he's got to do this, but what are you doing to attract this type of man? But my whole thing with Kevin Samuels is a lot of times it's mostly based on physicality. And so I want to ask you guys, is physicality that important to men?
Yes.
He bases a lot on your weight and, you know, those type of things. Is it that important?
Yes.
Yanni?
You got to be attracted to the person. I mean, let's be honest. You got to be attracted to the person. Like, you know, there's certain things that you just don't find attractive. And here's one of those things. It doesn't always just have to be physicality, because it doesn't matter how fine you are. If I can tell you're chewing and I'm not looking at you, we ain't gonna make it. Mm. We ain't gonna make it. If if you've got a haircut like mine or like Terrell's, you ain't gonna make it with Terrell.
Well, I think men are used to knowing where they stand in the pack. Right? So when you're young, if you know Yanni's the fastest person in school, he's an alpha, Yanni's fast. If I can lift the most weights, you know, people are like, oh, Terrell's really strong. We know where we stand in the hierarchy, so we know what we can get. And so...
Do y'all? Because as soon as y'all get money, y'all forget the hierarchy.
That's the key, right there. That's what I was about to say, though. So if I have a bachelor's degree and I work for the state of Texas and I'm making $55,000 a year, great, that's good money. But there's certain type of women that I can date that's in my range, right? And so if I pick any of these women, they could be big, small, short, tall, doesn't matter. I'll take whatever I can get. Now, if I come up and now I'm making $150,000, now that changes. I might not look at this anymore because now I have more options because I make more money. Thus, I could be the exact same person, right? Exact same person that if a woman met me at $50,000, and then she sees me again, and I'm at 150. Now she's interested because I have more to offer.
This is giving very much Kanye, when they get on, they leave your ass for a white girl type vibe.
No. No.
Well, okay. Okay, perfect example of this is I remember.
And maybe not necessarily white, but.
No, but see, okay, because here's the thing. I remember a conversation Terrell and I had years ago, and this is probably over a decade ago, when it was like, you know, at some point we gotta raise our own level, right? Because if we expect all these things from women, what are we bringing to the table?
Come on. Now I ain't never heard men have that conversation.
What are we bringing to the table? Okay, and that's energy. A key thing, and that's the thing that we've always thought about. And we, as you said, I'm like, you know what, you're right. And then we just start doing the things that we do to raise ourselves up to a level to get the woman that you want, and not just for that, but for yourself as well too. But at the same time, if your expectations are this, I don't want this, then what are you bringing to the table?
I like that you guys, I mean, of course, I'm a woman, so I'm not always privy to like the conversations that men have, because a lot of times women feel like men don't have those conversations about how can I do and be better, but y'all worried about what we can do. If we can cook, if we can clean. Negro, can you grill? Can you mount a TV? What can you do?
Period. Well, but I think we do have those conversations, and I think the difference between men and women, our conversations with each other are more honest. Where I think women are a little bit more supportive. So, for example, I could look Yanni in the face and be like, dude, well, this is why you're in this position. You broke. You ain't got no vision. You ain't got no mission. Well, you're not
really
doing anything.
I hate that I'm agreeing with you guys
and
today.
And then where women will be like, oh, girl, the right one's going to come. And they're going to love you for who you are and all that bullshit.
I threw the headphones down.
Sorry, y'all.
No, but I think women do that to each other.
My friends, because I'm guilty.
Yeah, because like not many women are gonna look at their friend and be like, yes. I don't know why I'm single. I do. Look at your house. This place is nasty as hell. That's why you're single.
Oh man.
And by the way, just for the record, if grilling was a requirement, I wouldn't have gotten married because I didn't start grilling until last summer. My wife was like, how do you not ever know how to grill?
The starter pack to knowing how to grill is you gotta be a dad. Your food not gonna be good unless you a dad. Unless you somebody, daddy.
I tell girls all the time, if you're looking for a guy that's gonna build you a deck, I'm not him. But I'll tell you what, I can call somebody and hire somebody to pay to do it.
God
and I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
So that still puts me in that category. And I was like, I'll make you some great breakfast, but I'm not gonna build you shit.
I ain't gonna fix your car.
I'm not gonna fix your car, but I'll take it in.
Oh man. You know what, Terrell? I'm stuck on the statement that you made because it's true. That I do think sometimes men can have like those raw, real conversations with each other, and women want to support you and build you up and like build your confidence and don't want to tear you down so much that even though like I've had friends, and even with dating advice, I talked to Yanni about this when he called me and asked me to be on the show. And I was telling him that one of my girlfriends was seeing this guy, and he for like 9 weeks was never available on the weekends and evenings.
He's married.
Right. And so
oh wait, funny. You wanted to tell the rest of the story? You don't need to. I told you.
It's funny because he technically is, right? He's separated, but he's still legally married, right? Oh, yeah. And so he does live alone, but I was kind of like telling her, like, you know, at first I was like, okay, I don't know anything about this situation, so cool. But as things were starting to unravel, oh, Terrell's gone. As things were starting to unravel, I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, you know, I kind of would sugarcoat what I wanted to tell her. I'm like, girl, something's not right about this guy. And instead of just being, because I didn't want to, like, I think sometimes, like, as friends, especially as women, you're like, I don't want to seem like a hater. I don't want to seem like I'm, like, trying to rain on her parade. Especially once you become, for women, once you become married, it's kind of like, oh, you think you sitting high and looking low now. So I didn't want to be that friend. And I know in several situations where I know where my friend, where he's like, girl, you ain't got a man because you difficult as hell. Like, you don't have, you know, you want this type of guy, but you're not the type of person that they would be attracted to because of X, Y, and Z. Where I know that, but I'm not saying that. So I totally agree. Damn.
And and I'll say this, as he's going to jump back in a second because he got kicked out. But I'll say this, you know, absolutely right. And the thing about it is that you got to have these real conversations with your friends. And that's why, for me, it's never been about, you know, if I want to hear the real answer, I know who to call. If I want somebody to agree with me, I know who to call.
Yes. And the thing is, I think too, I think that some friends I feel like I can be realer with than others. You know what I'm saying? Like, some friends, you know, they're extremely sensitive and they take things personal. Other friends, you know, they're calling you because they're like, bitch, I know you're going to tell me what's up. And I just hate when you, like, are being real with a friend and they don't receive it. And they're like, well, girl, I just want you to agree with me today. It's like, well, what? I'm not the girl. I'm just going to listen. Not going to listen.
Yeah.
Oh, you get, man.
The people who call who want you, well, you're supposed to agree with me. No. I don't have to. And that, if that's the case, and that's why I tell people that all the time. If you want somebody to just agree with you, then don't ask me. And I know Terrell is right along that. If you ask
him, I work with you and I know that.
If you ask him his opinion on something, he's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what he feels. He's going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you what you need to hear.
So was I right? Was this dude was married? That's why
he is legally married. I mean, he still doesn't really have a valid excuse. I mean, my thing is, like, don't hit me with the I'm busy. Everybody's busy. Especially we know that men make time for what they want to do. You know what I'm saying?
It was when you said that he lives alone. I was like, no, he doesn't. There's no guy that lives alone that is not available at nights and weekends.
Okay, guys, hear me out. This is what I want. Here's All right, so maybe 2 years ago, right? I met this guy. We, like, text every now and then. And then, you know, we went out for breakfast one time. We were cool, but the same guy, mind you, my friend that you're talking about. So when my friend said, hey, do you know this guy?
Did you go for breakfast after the date?
Oh, no, it was just a breakfast date.
Right.
It was literally just a breakfast date.
I'm just asking. Curious minds want to know.
So this is how you know it was just literally a breakfast date, because that's against girl code. Like, if I ever, like, was interested in a guy, like, even, like, saw myself with him, if my homegirl says, hey, do you know this guy? And Richmond is small, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, girl, it's me. I know everybody. But I said, I do know him. I said, we went out one time for breakfast. It was really casual. But I do remember when we met, he was dealing with somebody, right? And so, like, he was very honest about it. And I was dealing with somebody, too. So it was just like, oh, we just two people dealing with somebody out for breakfast. So I told her that. I said, I remember a couple years ago, he was dating someone, and this person was, like, in and out of his home type situation. Like, she would spend the night and things like that. So the thing is, my wife was like, oh, nah, this is not cool for her to be dating the guy. She was like, you can't never be around this dude. Right? What are your thoughts on that? Because this is my best friend. So I had mentioned, like, oh, we should go on a double date. And she was like, I'm not going on a double date with a guy that was once interested in my wife. And I was like, but it wasn't that deep. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I wouldn't want to go on a double date with somebody that, you know, now, and I get it. What you're saying is nothing happened.
You it was had literally breakfast. Nothing
didn't,
there.
Didn't make out. Nothing was there. Right. But the principle is weird to me.
Now,
let me go backwards. Terrell in his 20s? oh, I would do it all day long. I think it'd be funny. But as where I'm at in my life now,
okay,
no, I wouldn't want to do that because to me it just seems messy. It just seems weird, right? Mm. It just seems messy to me, and I just wouldn't want to put myself in that situation. I'm not the jealous type by any means. I just think, why would I want to go hang out with someone you went on a date with?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that. I wouldn't want to go out on a double date with somebody that went out with my wife before. Whether it was just out on a friendly, if they were just friends, mm-hmm. it's a different story. But if there was, let's see if there's something there. I don't know that I want to go on that.
Okay.
I mean, now it's not because of any insecurity. It's just right. that not.
It's just weird.
If we see them somewhere and we sit on the same table, great. But to go actively and purposefully on a double date, nah. I mean, because we ain't going to be homeboys. We ain't going to be cool. Because the minute you come out your mouth sideways,
it's like you're sitting already problems. Anyway. That's the energy.
Because you're going to want to say something sneaky because guess what? I got the woman that you couldn't have. Mm. I ain't playing them games. I'm playing it.
Okay, so I'm glad I talked to, because I felt like, at first I'm like, yo, my wife is like overreacting. I'm like, mm-mm. My whole thing, I kept saying, I was like, we know how this story ends. So why are we like so up in arms about it? And so hearing it from two men that I respect their opinion, I'm going to rock with it. I'm going to give it to her. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to tell her.
Of course.
And keep it right here.
Yeah,
we learned that
about you. Yeah. Yeah, bow. Of course.
We right here with it. You know what I'm saying? But okay, thank you.
She'll be like, baby, yeah, don't. When you listen to the episode, just skip past. Once they get to about, just skip past that part.
Mm-hmm. Once we start talking about my friends, just go ahead and skip over. Ain't nothing you want to hear, boo.
You heard the story before.
Yeah, okay. So I get it. I guess, too, like, I'm just, like, a little bit different because I'm so, like, I'm such an open book. Like, even, like, my podcast, I've talked about, like, dating and sex and all of these things. So I'm just kind of like, what's the big deal? Like, and so I just have to realize, like, because my wife has big dick energy. She has Queen Latifah energy. You know what I'm saying? You can throw a dress on her, but she's still a real one, okay? And right. So my mindset needs to, like, change with that, too. Like, everybody's not as, like... My whole thing is like, I don't care if it were the other way around. Cause she was like, what if it was the other way around? I was like, I don't care. Cause we're married and I got you. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing that I'm not intimidated by her. Like you said, I got what you wanted. So I win before we even like have a conversation. I got right. it.
Yeah. Not everybody's that way though.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, is it worth bringing the argument into the house?
It's already been here a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not worth it.
It's not.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Not.
It's totally not. Not worth it.
And as she goes through the ups and downs with this guy, this is the guy who she can't see on the weekends. And she's like, see, this is what I told you. Like, I'm like, this ain't even my relationship. And we're arguing about it. So, boom.
Well, but see, I think that, and I think Kevin Samuels would tell her, well, why are you still sticking in it? Mm-hmm. Is this the only guy in Richmond that's available? Is this the only single person in Richmond or are there other folks?
Well, that's when I kept it real. I was pulling a guy move. I was like, girl, you're dating at your confidence level and it shows. Like, like I really had to pull her because I knew once... Every girl does drive-bys with their friends. Like, that's part of girl code. But I knew when I was doing a drive-by for somebody that's not your boyfriend, mm-hmm. like, you know, she hit me up at, like, midnight. And my wife is like, where are you going at midnight? I'm like, Chrissy needs me. And so then when you add that extra layer of, like, he and I had known each other, and she was just like, what the fuck? But I was like, the fact that we are 30 years old doing a drive-by don't sit right with my spirit. So I got to pull you to the side. I'm like, girl, you're dating at your confidence level because the fact that you're even going to do this for somebody that's not your man, that's not like committed to you. And then you told him about it, dummy. Just. Well,
to be honest, not only is, like I said, he's separated, so he's not married. So yeah, mm-hmm. he may be living alone, but she's not. Plan A, Plan B, or Plan C. She's somewhere about Plan P.
Not Plan P.
She's somewhere down there. Because if you don't even get the weekends, then that means you're nowhere in the high. You're not in the hierarchy. And what happens is when this person's busy, I know who to call. Right. We used to call that the Plan Z, actually.
Wow.
He's just not that into you. They made a movie about it. Yeah, he's just not that into you. Yeah. It's okay. Why are you making him a priority when he's making you an option?
Yes, yes. And that's why I say, like, dating at your confidence level. And to your point about Kevin Samuels with these women who are like, oh, I need a man that makes this amount of money. I feel like in a sense they're dating to their confidence level, but they also need to humble themselves about what they actually are, not what you think you are, because those are two different things. I know a girl who's gotten her body done like twice, right? And I really believe that she thinks because she got her body done twice that she deserves a certain, like a man that makes a certain amount of money. And I'm like, girl, it's not just about that you got your body done. That's what I was asking about. Is it more about the aesthetic of the woman that allows her to date quote unquote up? You know, I think that her, like, I think a lot of women are thinking that, and that's what lends into the Kevin Samuels weight conversation, why a lot of women are getting their body done and getting BBLs is because they feel like once they get this done, it grants them access to this level of man.
I think they're trying to date to their IG level, their IG status level.
That's a... Lord, this ain't my fault. I'm about to hit period. Period.
I think a lot of these women, to Yanni's point, that see these Instagram models, they think this is what men want. This is what men find attractive. It doesn't mean I want to be with you or I want to marry you, you know, but would I sleep with you and you look like that? Sure. But there has to be more about you to keep him. It's not just the look. And so
what is the more about you that gets a man to start thinking of you that way?
For every man, it's a little bit different. I can speak for myself. For me, it's about your personality, your drive, your ambition. You know, where I can take you. Do you fit into different worlds? If we go to a nice restaurant, are you going to ask for scrimp? Because that's going to end it right there. You know, so
check,
it just depends, right? Like, do you want to travel? Do you want to see that there's more of the world than what you see here? Do you look at things from other people's perspectives? Are you going to push me? Are you going to be my rock? Mm. You know, when I need it. Like, there's certain things I want. And so those are the things that would make me commit to somebody, regardless of how they looked, you know. And I've dated people who were physically gorgeous, didn't have the personality or whatever that I wanted, and I ended it. I've dated people who some might call a six, but to me, their personality, everything made them an eight for me. Mm-hmm. But it's not about that. But I think if you go just off physicality, which is what a lot of women are doing, in this case, one of Kevin Samuels' people on the show today, she was 300 pounds. And lost like 150 or 160 pounds. So she feels that she's looking for a man that's going to marry her. She has a son by a dude who's not in the picture nor paying child support. And she doesn't want to have to work. She feels like her money should just kind of be extra. And so Kevin's telling her, why would a guy like that want you? And she goes, well, I'm still working on myself. She needs to get the skin removal done and all that. I'm like,
okay.
He goes, you're working hard and doing all these changes to get to a place where men who make that kind of money, they already have options like that now.
Mm, mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're not there yet. And so why would you? And I think in her mind, she felt that once she lost the weight, got the skin removal done, then everything is great. And it's like, no, you have a high school diploma, no degree. No ambition to do anything, and you want a man to come take care of you. And as Kevin Samuel said it, you're a bastard, which is harsh, but it's the
you're
truth.
You're lying.
No, he said that to this woman. He said it, and he goes, because that's what they're called.
He's not lying, though.
By definition, he's right. It's harsh. But she got pregnant with some dude who worked in a factory, didn't take care of her. And
at a certain level,
him.
It's disrespectful, though. Like, goddamn.
Oh, this
even though
not
by definition, that by is definition, what a bastard right. is, but damn.
Yeah.
I had to pick my jaw off the floor.
But the fact that she thought somebody making $200,000 is going to want her, I'm like, who would do that? But there are people who think that just because once they change their body, they're going to get the man of their dreams. I'm like, no, you got to have a whole lot more to offer. And he kept asking, and he asked a lot of women all the time, what do you bring to the table?
He hates when they mention their education.
Yeah, because there's a woman on there that she's a 40-year-old, single, never married. Her dad's a Kappa. Mom's a Delta. She's a Delta. Two brothers are Kappas. She has a PhD. Wow. She has all this stuff. Yeah. And then so he's asking her, like, well, what do you bring? Da, da, da. And then it got to the point of, he goes, wait, how old are you again? She's 40. He goes, how tall are you? And she said, I'm 5'8". And he goes, what's your dress size? And she was like, like a 10 to 12. He's like, there you go. That's your problem, is that she was a bigger girl.
10 and 12 isn't even a big girl.
Hold on. But based on him, he's saying based on her height, she shouldn't be at a certain weight. And so she was like 180, you know, over 180 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, like, you weigh more than a man. Like a guy that's making $250,000 a year, why would he want that? And then he said, well, what if you met a great man who made $50,000? She goes, well, if I met a man who made $50,000, I don't feel I have anything in common with him. Like, what could we talk about? Because she felt if a man made only $50,000, he's not educated. And I'm like, he could be smart as shit. He just doesn't have drive to be a CEO.
And these degrees don't mean that you're going to get like,
exactly. Just because you got a degree doesn't mean anything. Shit. Okay. But that was her mindset. And, and then she wanted to have a kid and shouldn't have any. She would like to have at least one. And he said, well, why would a guy at 250 want to be with you? Because the amount of time it's going to take for y'all to court and all that, you're going to be 41. That's at risk for having a baby, your first baby. And she was like, yeah, my gynecologist told me that they don't recommend it. But, you know, and I'm like, that's just crazy. But and I think it's okay for people to have, in my opinion, me and Yanni talk about this all the time. It's okay for you to have your standard of what you want. You just minimize your pool. That's all the difference is.
Yeah.
But it just blows my mind to hear so many of these women call into this show that I'm like, the fuck you think a guy is going to want you for?
I just want women to stop talking about money because it gives broke bitch energy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel whenever I hear a woman, like even my peers talk about what he got to make X, Y, and Z, it gives very much broke bitch energy because just like, you know, even if we remove money, let's say like, all of us are, I have my degree. I just so happen that if you have your degree, you tend to hang around people who also have their degree. It just naturally happens. So when you continue to talk about like, oh, I need a man that make X, Y, and Z, it's such a big deal to you because you're not used to it and you don't know it. And when you're in an environment, I think definitely men that have money know who really wants to be used. There are very few men who are actually okay with being a sugar daddy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So who wants to feel used? So if you continue to talk about, oh, he got to make this and he got to make that, he knows that you're only there for the money and therefore you don't even have enough money to like have the lifestyle that you want for yourself. So right. You're really not with me for the right reason. So like, hey, city girls, shut the fuck up about money. Like, it's like, to me, that's like the that I don't want to deal with you. You know, like, I think men already know, I'm not a man, but I think that men already know and have this sense of pride in being a provider. So they already know that more than likely they're going to do for you, pay bills and do things that men do. You don't have to say, well, he got to do X, Y, and Z because that man's going to do that anyway. He already knows. That's a prerequisite. Mm.
Mm. Well, I guess it's a security situation, right? It's why somebody might focus on a guy with money, but I think it just depends on the guy. You can make $150,000 a year and be irresponsible,
yep,
not save, not invest properly. And you could also make $55,000 a year, have really great credit, and save and are responsible. You just do different things. But I think when I hear women talk about money, I understand it. And it depends on who they are, right? If they are a woman that you know, if she's a woman that's making $150,000, $200,000, there's a certain lifestyle that she expects. Mm-hmm. And if you don't make anything close to that, you can't help her keep that lifestyle. She's either bringing you up. And so I can see somebody at that level saying, I want to be with somebody who makes around the same money as me. And that makes 100% sense. But if you are working the front desk at the Marriott and you're making $40,000 and your expectation is you need a man that's going to make $150,000 to $200,000, I have a problem with that.
Hey, but she's got the rooms.
Like laziness to me.
Wherever you go, she's got the rooms.
Period.
Well,
at a
true
floor rate, okay?
Well, but then also, I agree with Kevin.
Not a friend and family. It's a big difference. Okay.
The thing I agree with Kevin when it comes to money, because it depends on their situation. If you are single with no kids, I think we can have the money conversations. But if you are single with two kids by two different dads that aren't paying child support, then
it's the different daddies that get y'all.
No. It's not the different dads. I can say one thing.
Different daddies.
Let's just break down. I've dated people that had kids with the same dad. And I would always ask, well, do they pay child support? No, he ain't about shit. Are you going to take him to court? No. I'm like, no, I don't want to get in and now have to take care of you and your two kids and your person you chose to sleep with and have kids with that you didn't marry isn't paying for them. So you expect me to do it.
Right.
But I have to do it. No, I call bullshit on X. I feel like I shouldn't have to pay for your mistake.
Hey, I'm sorry. It's different daddies too, just because at the same time, how many people you letting shoot the club up, goddammit?
I mean, you could have multiple kids by multiple different people, but all it says is you tend to make bad decisions. If you meet a person that has three kids by three different men and never married any one of them, to me, the data shows she makes bad choices. So then if I get with her, what is that going to mean for me?
But I also feel like if we use this, I also feel like in that case with Kevin Samuels, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Because he also dog walks women like myself who don't have kids. And so, quote unquote, I would have been making the right decisions because I don't have children. But then he'll also say, well, you're past the age of eligibility. You're past your sexual peak age or whatever the hell he says. So it's like, if I have kids or have a child in my early 20s or mid 20s, right? And he's saying, well, you got a kid, who will want you? But then I'm 30 and I don't have a kid. And he's saying, well, you're past the age of eligibility. So it's like the scale just moves so much for women.
Yeah.
I think what I've heard him say is if you are early 20s, no kids, right? Mm-hmm. Educated, your options are up here, mm-hmm. you know, high. Now you started getting older and still don't have any children, but still want a family. So now you're 32, never married, no kids. He's not saying that you can't ever achieve that. He's just saying that like all the type of men that you were going
that's
after.
That's old. That that's might not change. Old.
It's not saying that it's old.
What
but what
woman
saying?
Really wants kids in her early 20s? Like, I'm talking about like career driven women. So you're also saying you want a woman that's career driven, a woman that has her degree. So a woman that's working her degree and still in her early 20s, especially advanced degrees, they're not thinking about children at that moment. And here's another like dream that was sold to black women, right? It's you go to college, don't worry about those boys, you get your degree, you get a good job, right? So then when we get the good job and we get out of school and we're at like, let's say 25, right? Advanced degree, whatever the case may be. A lot of times, once you get out of school, you're still getting your footing into the professional world, so you may not necessarily be ready to date or have anything to really bring to the table to offer when people say, what do you have to offer? Then you're mad when I say, well, I have my degree. It just feels like the scale is always moving for single black women.
And what he talks about on there, it's about the high value man that these women are wanting. It's not saying you just can't get a man, but what he's talking about is these women that fresh out of college with their degree, they want to date somebody who's making $250,000, $300,000 a year that if they got married to, they wouldn't have to contribute more than 20% to the income to the household. So that means that guy has to make enough. And if we're going to have kids, he's going to pay for it. He's not saying you can't have a man at all. But for these women that are expecting the $250,000 type of dude, A, most of those guys in their 20s don't make $250,000 legally. And so most of those men are in their 30s or 40s, especially in their 40s. And so if you're in your mid-20s dating a man in his early 40s, he's got to probably want kids. And he might want two or three. So that means your career-driven thing kind of goes out the way if I'm making this kind of money and I want someone to stay home and raise my kids.
It's too much for me.
If you're 32, if you're a woman who's 32 and ready finally to settle down and looking for the man, what happens is if the man is going to be your age or a little bit older,
he's
probably got a couple of kids anyway, because while you were so focused on your education and your career, he's been knocking out the chicks that were
but you expect me to take on your kids. Even though if it's not financially, you expect me to be a stepmother and love your kids, and expect, even if I don't have kids, and I've seen that a million times over, a lot of my friends who don't have children, they are dating men that have kids, and I got to be a stepmom and picking up little Ray Ray from basketball practice and taking the family trips to Disney World, and it can't ever be about just me.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why when I was dating, I didn't want to date anybody with a child. I'm like, I want to know what it's like to be first in this man's life. When you are dating a man that is plays an active role in his kid's life, you will never come first. You will never. So I have to be willing to be second, third, fourth, fifth, and then when you have some extra, here I am, and I got to support you and your kids, but I can't have a kid, and
let me add to that.
At 32?
Let me add to that then. So you are 32, single, with a kid, and you want to marry a guy that makes, you know, high-value man, over $250,000 a year. I got to come in and pay for you and your kid, and I'm not ever going to be first because your kid will always trump me no matter what. So,
you know,
same.
I don't know, because I hate to say it like this, but sometimes I feel like, especially women will almost sell, and we've seen it in Tyler Perry movies, will sell their soul to get a man that makes that money. Their kid, honestly, unfortunately, doesn't really become the first. It no longer is the first priority, you know, because they will do whatever it takes to keep that man that provides that lifestyle.
How many times
have you seen it?
Oh, I've seen it, but I think a good woman would focus on her kid.
Definitely, a good woman.
Get into a lifestyle. But unfortunately, there are some women
out there that have kids, and I'm like, you going on all these trips? Who is watching your baby all the time? Like, there's this one girl I follow. Like, I think she's an aspiring IG chick, and she's cute. You know what I'm saying? I think she might be like 25, maybe, or whatever. And I'm like, yo, you're going on all these vacations. You got like a 4-year-old. Who is watching your son when you're doing all of these things? You're going to the club. One time, she took her son to like a club. I'm like, what the hell? But she's an example of somebody that's chasing a lifestyle, and she's willing to do anything to get it. And I feel like a lot of girls, like in that age bracket that we're talking now in this day and time, are like that.
Well, that's why NBA All-Star Weekend, no matter where it is, there's a group of women out there ready to raw dog some basketball player in hopes to getting pregnant because they know they will be set for a long time.
I hit the lottery.
Yeah. You can get up in here. Come get this good. No, you don't need that condom. Yeah, put that away.
Okay. I don't like how it feels. No way. You know, Terrell's lottery that he's playing right now, and anybody who's been listening over the last 2 months has heard him really talk about this since the snowpocalypse in Texas, is his manner to get Ted Cruz out. You know, while these women are trying to get that upper echelon man, he's trying to get this man out.
Period.
If this was a Kevin Samuels situation, you know, Ted Cruz is that dude that makes $250,000. We need to kind of change our expectations and go for that dude that's making just $50,000 that works hard and gives a shit.
And he's
Let's
loyal.
Just go
he's
off
loyal.
Of that. Yeah, I'd rather have that person because. You know, Ted Cruz is ever since that whole snowpocalypse thing, and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him before, but when he ran for president against 45, I was just like, this dude's a turd. And then after the whole snowpocalypse thing and blaming it on his kids for going to Cancun and then coming right back to go, you know, put water in people's trunks to get a little photo up, the dude's trifling. Right. He's just a mess. And so I'm hoping every week I talk about it, that Texans get together. We pay attention and don't forget this.
Yes.
Don't forget any of the stuff that this dude has done and vote him out. I know we have a lot more people are interested in the race. You know, Alan West is interested in running for governor. And now you got Beto O'Rourke talking about running for governor, which I don't really recommend that. But we need to get somebody strong. Come on, Matthew McConaughey, I need you to run. Put your name in the hat.
Goodbye.
Put your name in the hat, Matthew. We need you.
Oh, if Arnold Schwarzenegger can do it.
That's what I'm looking at. Matthew, if you're watching.
Log me off this show.
Terrell is delusional. You know, I keep telling him. Every week I tell him this, Chelsea. I tell him, you know, Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus and will re-elect Senator Ted Cruz because that's what Texas does. Mm-hmm. And I admire his efforts. I really do. I love the fact that every week he comes in here and gives this impassioned speech about why people should vote him out and, you know, making sure they don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
But they will.
They will. They will. I hate to tell you.
If I could influence just one voter, I did my job.
Yeah, it's still.
Well, I don't count. I don't live in Texas, but you got me.
There's your one voter. Hey, what are you guys drinking today, man?
It's been water this whole time. It's been water. It's still early in the day. I got some work to do. If I start sipping now, nothing will happen. Last week when I was sipping some of that brown liquor, I had all this intent to do some work and get caught up on some stuff. Nope, I went downstairs, poured a couple more, and then had a nice 2-hour day nap.
Mm. Showing your age, Terrell, the day nap.
Yeah, day and I don't nap, but after 3 big glasses of whiskey, yeah, I had to shut it down for a couple hours. Let's just say that's how I was feeling.
What you sipping on, Chelsea?
I am drinking water. We started this. I was fresh from the gym with that man that decided to get on the treadmill next to me. But later on, I will be drinking a little bit of Casamigos. I just started drinking Casamigos. Like it. And that's probably going to be my cocktail for the evening in my umbrella flask.
Nice. So I'm also doing, you know, Mother Nature champagne, good quality H2O. And yeah, like the two of you, when later on I'm going to be partaking in some of the brown liquor. I'll be back on the bullet bourbon. I got my giant ice cubes freezing in the freezer right now, so ready for that. So
this is one thing I'm always like, this shows our, like, as I'm like, I just turned 30, I'm like, my age is showing, because like certain things I get excited about. You know, you just prepare for things. Like you said, like, ooh, my ice cube is chilling. Like, you're just, like, marinating, thinking, knowing that ice cube is ready. I get excited about, like, planning to do nothing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, child, when I get off, I'm going to just... And I set everything up so I can just do nothing. Getting older means preparation. That's all that means. Okay.
Facts.
True. True.
Just excitement about the small things.
As always, always a pleasure having you on. And like we said, we definitely want to have you back some more as we move forward. And especially for this episode, you're on the Obama episode. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes! 44, I hope I did you right, okay?
I'm going to stand beside track. Him. And, well, in true 44 fashion, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. God damn it, I can't believe you did that.
I think I'm Chelsea Lamore.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Road, at Just Terrell, at Starring Chelsea. Oh, is it at Chelsea Lamore
now? It's Chelsea Lamore now.
You changed the handle.
I know.
Chelsea, I am proud of you for changing the handle because you wanted to keep the brand going.
It took a lot.
I know this is a horrible 44 impression. It is. But I'm not going to let it go. And... at RGRT Pod.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. I had a great time as always.
Thank you, Chelsea. Hey, be sure y'all send us in some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
This is the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers with water.
Cheers.